Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. We are back, and we're back. We're back with power. I'll just put it that way. And welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. Hello, Tasila. How are you today?
Hello. I'm doing very good, and I want to say hello to all our friends and family out there from all over the world, because, you know, when you're in Christ and we're in Christ, we are family. Those that truly know
That's
Jesus
right.
and that are taking a stand for him and the power of his might.
Yes.
You guys all, we're all together in this whole thing. So, hi. God yes. bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Yes, and, you know, it is good for people in this hour to really make a strong stand for the Lord. We are warriors, and we have to get ready for war. As a matter of fact, we should be ready now for war, so we won't have to get ready. All right, so everybody pick up your phones and grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture or the link on Facebook. If you're on Facebook and you see the post for this particular show, you can actually just click on the picture, and you can listen to it tonight and all this week on Facebook, okay? Just go right back to it and click on it again, all right? And you can also see T. Meyer and Tasila on YouTube and many other social media platforms. Just look for The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. We're on HSBN.TV, or you can go to YouTube and some of the others and just put in the name, The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. We'd also like for you to join us and worship with us. If you're in the Inland Empire area, you can come on, or even if you're in Los Angeles, it doesn't matter. Just take a little ride and come and join us. Church of Jesus Christ Ministry at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Come and join us. You will be blessed, okay? And visit our webpage. Our website is www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. Okay, just go there and just navigate all through it and just enjoy yourself, okay? So take a visit over there, and don't go away, because we're going to be right back right after this. As I said, we are warriors. So everybody, let's get ready for war. Let's get ready.
We got the power. We got the power. We got the power. We got the power. We are the people where the sons of God, and we're ready for war. We have to go against all odds, cause we know what we're fighting for.
Along with God's incorruptible seed, the kingdom of God, the first violence and the violence, take it by force. We've got to bring forth the kingdom of God, cause in these days we have no choice, cause we're ready for war.
We are united with the power of God.
Oh, we're ready for war.
Yeah.
are united with the power of God. And if you're not, we got to get united. Christians, let's get united with the power of God. Praise the Lord. You're listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk. And, well, actually, Pat, wait a minute, hold on. What is this? What's going on? For something to happen. So what's getting ready to happen, Pastor Tisila?
Oh, we're going to talk about our great and holy God whom we serve, who he is. And I want to start off, you know, a lot of times people say, who is the real God? I got to tell you, it's Jesus. Before I even say anything, I'll tell you it's Jesus, because that's my testimony in my heart. And you may ask, well, why do you say that, sister? The word said it first. Then my own experiences confirmed it to me.
Yeah.
And I remember when Jesus said in John 8:5-8, before Abraham was, I am, meaning I was here before, and I am here now, and I will always be the all-existing one. We think in one dimension in this realm, when really God is all in all. Remember the scripture that says, which is another one of my favorite scriptures. I'm always saying another because I love the word of God. And then the scriptures it says, this one says, to wit. What wisdom, that's what to wit means. What wisdom is that? That God was in Jesus reconciling the world back to himself. And that is just really interesting that the Father was there the whole time. Even when they said to Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long with you and you still ask me to show you the Father? These are such beautiful jewels of the oneness of God and the Father. And don't forget the one in Isaiah that says, unto us, it always blows me away, that a child is born. Unto us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. This verse was penned like hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. Isn't that something? It is a prophecy about a future child who would bear the government on his shoulders and be called by so many the great titles that can only be attributed to a God. And Psalms 127 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And God gave his only begotten son. So that means that Jesus is definitely our reward.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus is our reward. Once, I'll tell you something, in my life after traveling to a whole lot of countries and meeting new people, and I wanted to know who God was. Because I had heard that we only believe in Jesus because we live in the United States and that there are so many other ways to get to God. So, you know, now I know better, but I was young. And I went and I was searching, and these people gave me some books, and I got Buddha books, Hare Krishna books, Catholicism, Islam, I was, you know, anything I could go over, I was taken to different places where people chanted, and I had more sense, even in not knowing who God was, that I didn't want to chant when I was in there. while they were chanting, but I was searching. I was saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. I was like, I knew something was wrong with it. And like I said, they were telling me that the only reason why we believe in Jesus because we live in the United States and that there are many ways to God. So I locked myself up in a room to seek the one true living God. And lo and behold, Jesus came.
Right.
Because Jesus, in his word, he lets us know. He says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Uh-oh. That just got rid of a lot of religions. There goes Islam. They're along with Allah and Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus just told
Buddha,
you.
All of them.
Yeah, we could keep going. All the ones that I was looking into, that Hare Krishna, and looking into the all those different I just wanted to know who was the one true God. But when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father. Now look at that, because all these different other religions, if you notice, they're without Christ. They feel like, some of them, that they could go to the Father on their own. And then some of them feel like that Allah is the Father. And it gets me when I see Christians feeling like Allah is God and that before Jesus came. He is not. That's not a God. That's a demon.
Yeah.
That's not God at all. And how Jehovah's Witnesses feel like that Jesus is a prophet. You just have a spirit of blasphemy that you're belittling the great I am. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. You just don't know the word. You don't know who you're dealing with. Jesus just told you there is no entrance to the Father without the blood being applied. Isn't that deep? You must have the blood applied. He also made mention about people that did these types of things were thieves and robbers. He said in John 10, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. See, the Lord wants us to listen to him. It's not just the thing of reading and saying, I accept Jesus, and that you're with the Lord. You're not a true believer, actually, if you don't keep his commandments. Listen to him and do the things that he says. He says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say do? So you're not of the sheepfold if you're coming in another way and you're not listening to his voice. The point here is he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now in these last days we have lots of thieves and robbers. And people mingling. And a lot of minglers mingling their New Age belief with Christianity. Oh, Christianity. Even like Paul said, who has beguiled you? Who has, this is just really sad. Jesus calls these people thieves because they try to get into the higher levels of the spirit realm without him. Like astral traveling. Meditation, yoga, you seek for answers from old dead saints. And the Lord already told us that the dead knows nothing. You are actually communicating with demons. Even when people think that they are talking to dead loved ones and aliens sometimes, I've heard people say this mess too, it is only demonic encounters. you're dealing with demons. Only Jesus is the only one, you have to realize this, has torn the veil for our entrance, for us to get into the spirit realm. It's only through Christ. And any other way, these people are astral traveling their way into false paradises. I've even heard people say that they have gone into these false paradises with flowers and trees, and even some of these people saying that they went into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to say that some people haven't visited. I know that it is available, and if God wants you to, you can. But then some people are forcing themselves, sitting down and traveling and taking others with them and forcing themselves into what they consider the paradise, which is not of God. This stuff is New Age, demonic, transcendental meditation, all this kind of chakra mess. This is a bunch of junk that has intermingled into the church. Remember, the devil doesn't just become plainly before your eyes, because if he stood out plainly, well, I see now that he's making people come out and plainly serve him. I see now he's entered into the entertainment field, and a lot of these people are professing their Satanists and wearing demonic shirts, T-shirts, skulls, buildings with skulls on them, food menus with skulls on it, and all this mess, because that's Satan wants to be worshipped outwardly now. It used to be a secret about secret societies and Illuminati and all of that. Now it's just plainly outright done. But remember that if Satan showed you who he was, he has to wear the mask. If you would recognize it, you would, you know, wouldn't go for it. So he has to disguise himself as an angel of light. And I remember once I used to work with a girl that was a witch. And she used to try to explain to everyone there, which some people believed her, that it was nothing wrong with her being a witch, and she was in Wicca, but because she was a good witch. And she was a witch that she considered herself of more of light. There's no such thing. If you remove Christ, it's no such thing. I can't even explain it. It's such a blasphemy when people try to say that they are good, or that they're witches and they can astral travel and they could get into, you can, they can, they can move around. But don't say that the Lord and come back and use the word along with it, because this is where it's getting into an entanglement in the spirit realm with churches and people. You are not to be doing necromancy, or a lot of times people are going into these dead saints and talking to them because they want information. They want to know the future, but you're not talking to any saints. You're talking to demons. And that's what I want people to know. The people are so greedy for the cares and fame of this life that they're taking their eyes off the prize. Like I said, Jesus is our reward. We read in Romans 6:23 that the invisible hands of God reach down and remove this barrier himself. This is how you get into the spirit realm. It says that he tore from top to bottom. Now, no earthly priest is needed to beg for our forgiveness. Anyone may enter into God's presence by the way of Jesus' blood. But we're entering into before the throne room of God, because there is where Jesus shed to pay the wages for our sins. You cannot come into a man's house unless you have the proper invitation. and you most certainly can't come in without the correct attire on, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything other than that makes you a thief and a robber. And let me tell you something. You could take giant statues with big bellies and objects, and you can, and they can actually be under the influence and make people think that they are the way. But in Isaiah 44:19, the Lord says, "And no one considers this in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say concerning the statue made of wood and these things that people create to bow down to, that it was made in this realm." It's not outside of this realm. He's saying,
right.
Don't you think, right, how could you just take something as you create? Oh, my goodness, it just really doesn't make any sense. But he says, you think to say, don't you think to yourself that you just burnt half of it in the fire and also that I have baked bread on it and set up coals of fire on it? I have roasted meat and have eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Should I fall down before a block of wood? I am telling you, you will never get to heaven on your own instructions. Jesus already laid it out. He is the great God. He paid the price for us all. And when you get to the gates, the only ticket that will get you in will be Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, Pastor T.
Amen. Hey, don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Stay there.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, he's longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all.
A Hallelujah. You are listening to Christian Talk, and it's TNT time on Christian Talk. Now the question is asked, who is God? Who is God? Well, you know, Pastor Cecilia, we could never really reveal all that God is and all of who he is.
No, we don't even know. We don't know.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The Lord is gracious enough to give us tidbits of who he is. God is constantly trying to make himself known to mankind. And for those who call themselves Christians, we really try, I mean, for those that call themselves Christians, he really tried to make himself known to them because we are his people. And although we are to know him, we are to know him and show the world who he is, still most of the world don't really know who God is, including those who call themselves Christians. Yeah, that's right. Those who call themselves Christians and many who call themselves Jews, for that matter, you know, they don't know who God really is. You know, we know that all other nations, these pagan nations and all of that, worldly nations, they don't really know who the one true living God is. That's why they have so many false gods that you were talking about a little earlier. There's so many false gods in the world. But we, Christians, we are the ones who serve the one true living God. So we should know the God we serve. But sadly to say, many Christians still don't know him. That's why God wants us to be his lights in this dark world. Our job is in this hour, our job is to show people, including some of the Christians that are walking in darkness, to show the people who God is. We should be able to have the light of Jesus Christ in us. You know, at first it was a shocker to know that many Christians don't know God. They don't even have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying
or a relationship.
Many, some Christians, or a relationship.
Yeah, you're talking about relationship.
Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about all Christians. I'm not talking about the people that are listening right now. I'm talking about many of pagan Christianity, people that are in the world, but yet they call themselves Christians. They don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that they don't know Jesus. Well, why is it so important, you know, that we know Jesus, you might ask? Because Jesus is God. And understand this, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus
Hallelujah.
Is God made tangible, touchable. When we see Jesus, we are able to touch him, hug him, kiss him, walk with him, and talk with him because God became a man so that we could handle him. God is no longer far away, but near to us. Through Jesus Christ, God is now with us. Cecilia, he is
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, God with us. You see, there is a mystery between God and Christ. There's a mystery, even a mystery between the Holy Spirit as well. It's a mystery, but Jesus unveils the mystery. Therefore, if you get the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the unveiling of who he is, then you have the revelation of God himself and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. A lot of noise there. And the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that. For all Christians to not know who God truly is isn't really strange to me, believe it or not. Tecila, it's not a strange thing to me because at one time the children of Israel didn't know who God was. And this was the God that they served, the God of their fathers. Yeah. They didn't know. Remember when God chose Moses to free the children of Israel from the bondage of the Egyptians? Moses asked the Lord, he said, what if they ask me your name? What shall I tell them? God said, I am that I am, or I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. I am is his name, and it means so much. That name means so much. I am, it means so much. By saying I am, God is saying that he is Yahweh, the self-existing one. He is saying that he is the one and only supernatural, creative, living, energetic being that causes existence. He is saying that I am from everlasting to everlasting. And as we read the Bible, scriptures actually tells us who God is. God tells us who he is. When he said, I am, he is telling us that I have always been and shall always be. I am the God of purpose. Therefore, I command and create. I am the great creator who created my own Shekinah glory covering, which is the visible splendor of God. I am the one who created my own bright, white, glistening glory. I created my own light covering and my glory cloud, which is full of light. God is saying, I created the very smoke of my presence. I created heaven. I created paradise. Yes, I am the supreme and ultimate reality. I am the perfect one. I am supreme intelligence. I am the one who is full and free. I am all-powerful. I am the all-knowing, self-existing one that causes existence. I am the great creator of all things, both visible and invisible, both good and evil. I am all wisdom. I am the one who has all understanding and that quickens your understanding. I am good. I am love. I am light. And I created darkness. I am life, and I am the resurrection. I can reveal myself as spirit, fire, wind, cloud, smoke, light, as an angel or as a man. For I am the ruler of the universe and universes beyond what you know. I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the always present, supernatural, living, spirit being that causes existence. I am pure and clean. I am the one who exists without beginning and without end. I am far beyond existence. I am knowledge that comprehends without being comprehended. I am your fighter. I am your peace. I am the great judge and counselor. I am holy. I am divine. I am omnipresent. I am your shepherd. I am your sanctifier. I am your provider. I am your covenant maker. He's not finished. I am the just one. I am the righteous one. I am the healer. I am the deliverer. I am strength. I am God manifested in the flesh, and I shall soon be in your flesh in fullness. I am the miracle worker. I do ultimate signs and wonders. I am energy. I am all divine authority. I am your supplier, your master, your owner, your savior, your life. I am the one who loves you. I am the Father. I am the Son, and I am the Holy Spirit. I am the Lord. I am El Shaddai. I am Jehovah. I am here and everywhere. I exist. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I am the Lord, your God. Hallelujah. I want to talk about a little bit more about God the Father, Christ Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit so that we can all see the connection, the oneness in the one true living God. As a man, God as a man, had to fulfill the law for us. First, he had to fulfill the law for us. God, as a man, had to do that. Then die for our sins, which means to take the punishment of death upon himself, Adam's punishment, And then he had to be resurrected before he could show the revelation of himself as the glorified Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua, the anointed one, the one who is our God and our creator. This had to be done so that we could become sons of God. God did all of this so that we could become his sons. God made the decision to become a man and work in the office of the Son of God. He had to become our Messiah, our Redeemer, our sacrificial lamb, our King, our example, our Master, our Savior, and Lord. He had to become our truth, our reality. God had to become tangible in order for us to see him, hold him, touch him, walk and talk with him, commune and fellowship with him. There was no other way to redeem mankind than for God himself to be born into the world as a baby and then grow and become a man so that he could be our sacrificial lamb, our Savior. God had to take on the nature of fallen mankind. He had to look like us and call himself the heir of God, or the son of God. Son means heir. The heir of God, so that he could have dominion over both the heavens and the earth. He had to become a man so that that could happen. He could have dominion over the heavens and the earth because Adam blew it, which is why he called himself the son of man, or heir of man. That means that he is the son or heir of Adam, the original man, Adam. He's Adam's heir. When Jesus was resurrected, he made the declaration that he has power or dominion over the heavens and the earth. He had to become the heir of God, but he had to speak it to make it so. When he spoke it, it became law. It became truth. He had to do this so that God, as the man, would call himself Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Word of God. Therefore, he had to speak it to make it so. He had to declare his office, the office that would inherit the heavens and the earth and restore the earth back to mankind and kick Satan out of the earth once and for all. So he called himself Savior, Deliverer, and the revelation of him is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And at various times of Jesus' ministry, he gave people a little bit of that revelation, the revelation of who he is. For example, although Jesus is our Savior, he's much, much more. He is the Creator. Ooh. Jesus, Yeshua, is the Word of God made flesh. John the Revelator said that first, it was the Word, and that Word was with God in the beginning, and that Word was God, and all things were created by him, which means by his Word, and Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Peter said that his Word, God's Word, liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth, continually live, and abideth, continually abide, forever. That's what that means. He lives and abide forever. The same word was wrapped in flesh and became the Son of God. The Word of God makes it clear that Jesus is the Almighty God and the Everlasting Father. And this is what you sort of read yourself, Pastor, to see Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is who Jesus this was, like you said, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, but he was going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This little baby, when he's born, do you remember in the 18th chapter of John when Judas betrayed the Lord and came to him with a band of men and officers from the high priests and Pharisees? They came with lanterns and torches and weapons. When Jesus asked them, "Whom seek ye?" or "Who are you looking for?" they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Well, when Jesus said, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, that's all he actually said was, "I am." The King James writers put the word "he" in there. But he actually said, "I am." And when he said those words, they went backwards, and then they fell to the ground. Can you imagine that? Jesus had no weapon in his hand, nothing on him, yet every one of them first went backwards and then fell to the ground the moment he said, "I am." And, that always blew my mind, A little bit of God's glory was revealed with those two words when he said, "I am." He was showing them that "I am." He was actually identifying himself as the Almighty God. He was saying, I am that particular Jesus. I am that particular Jesus. I am God. I am the great I am. Jesus also told the scribes and Pharisees that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And they said, "Well, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" This is what they're trying to tell him, because, Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And they're telling him, "You're not even 50, so how are you going to say that? Have you seen Abraham?" Jesus told them, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they couldn't take it. They sought to kill him because they said that he was trying to make himself equal to God, when in reality he wasn't. He was trying to let them know he is God. In the King James Version, it seems like all other versions that I've read concerning this particular scripture, they always put the comma after the word "was." Before Abraham was, "I am." But when in actuality, you should read it like this: "Before Abraham, comma, was I am." Putting the comma after Abraham's name. Here's another situation. When Jesus straight out said that he is God, remember when Philip asked Jesus to show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And I think you brought this out too, Pastor Tosila. Jesus made it clear who he was when he answered John in chapter 13, verse 9. He said, "Have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me?" Philip said, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." He said, have I been all this time with you, and still you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, how much clearer can you get? And how sayest thou then, "Show us the Father"? He was letting them know that he is Yahweh. Yahweh is our Yeshua. The Lord is our Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And there he was, the Lord God, Yahweh, Elohim, right there in their midst. Even Paul called the oneness of God and Christ a mystery. And he said it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Jesus is actually God, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, the real Lord God Almighty, manifested in the flesh for the purpose of reconciling mankind back to himself. As it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And also for God to be able to commune with his people as one of his people, eventually lifting them up to be on the level of his own intelligence. But for now, today, he wants to give us an example of what it's like to have favor with God. We cannot make the mistake of looking at Jesus and God in a carnal frame of mind. Don't do that, not in a carnal frame of mind. If you do that, then you begin to separate him and make him three different entities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's not three different entities. We must understand that God is spirit, and he is in a different dimension, a different realm than we are, a totally different one, and he operates in the spirit realm. God is Jesus Christ, the Son. At the same time, he is God the Father, and at the same time, he is the Holy Spirit, all at once. He is everywhere, all the time, and at the same time. He is in your midst and in mine, although I may be way over in another country. He is God, and he's still there in our midst. When God made the declaration, I am that I am, he made it clear to Moses way back then when he first said it. He is making it clear to us today that he is from everlasting to everlasting. I exist. I am here and everywhere, and that he is what he wants to be and whom he needs to be when the time comes. Even as the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. For the benefit of mankind, the Lord God had to create himself as the Holy Spirit, our guide, our comforter, our leader, the fruit giver, and the gift giver. He had to become our guide into all truth, because the great Lord God wanted to dwell in his people so that his people can truly worship him in spirit and in truth. His spirit assists us in worshiping him in spirit and in truth. God had to become spirit, and his spirit is holy, separate from all other spirits, which means God is set apart, high and lifted up above all things. All that we receive from the Lord God comes by way of his spirit, which is holy. When we are endued with power, it comes from the Holy Spirit, which means it comes from God's spirit. Keep in mind that as Jesus, he is God with us, but as the Holy Spirit, he is God in us. The spirit of Jesus in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. God gave himself a body, and that body is Jesus, so we can see God and touch and handle God. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of God that dwells in us and falls upon us or descends upon us as he will. Jesus became spirit, and he became spirit in order for him to be in us, and we know him as the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, these works shall I do, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to the Father. Jesus went to the Father so that he could return to us as the Holy Spirit and dwell in us. It is oneness that the Lord is after. He wants to be one with his people and dwell in his people and have his people in him. When he calls himself Elohim, Elohim, it is not because it's more than one God, for there is only one God. Hear, O Israel, for the Lord thy God is one Lord. For Yahweh, thy Elohim, is one Yahweh. It was not because it was three different gods. It is because God created three different offices And when he created himself to work in his three offices, it was for one purpose, and that purpose was to reconcile man back to himself. God worked with Holy Spirit power from the beginning. Keep in mind what I said earlier, that God is spirit, and his spirit is holy. That means he is separate from all others. He is separate from all other beings and spirits. When God speaks his word, it is spirit. It is life and energy. John 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His word is breathed out. In other words, it is Holy Spirit released. That is why it is written, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, and I'll end with this. So now, when referring to God, or the Trinity, as some people call it, always understand it like this. This is how you understand it. God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. He is one. Amen.
Amen. Like the Lord says, also, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone
believeth.
You got to believe, but you got to trust, and you got to believe. You can't say, oh, I do, but you don't do what the Father says to do.
Yes.
The Lord
Amen.
Said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. Amen. And if you want to know more, if you want to read more about who God is, just go ahead and get the book. It's a lot more is in the book, okay? Who is God?
Yeah, the
Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Just get it. It's on Amazon, and you can order it also on Barnes & Noble. So go ahead and get it. Go to our website and order it. But order the book, and you'll get more and more out of it. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you all for tuning in. We just love it when you do that. Remember that we're here every week at 8 p.m. Pacific time, okay, which makes it 11 p.m. if you're back east, and you can check your time zone and you can see what time we come on and dial in. Or if you don't want to dial in, just listen in from your computer. Wherever you see the post, just click on the link or the picture and listen from your computer. And you'll enjoy it. On Facebook, you can hear us all week. So you can click on this program. You're listening to it tonight. A few hours from now, you can click on it again and hear the entire thing. And all this week, you can hear the entire thing. Wherever you see the post for this particular show, click on the picture or the link and listen to the entire show. Well, I guess that just about wraps it up, Pastor Tasila. Last minute words?
I just want to say that, the last thing, believe it, is trusting him. You could say you believe in Jesus, but if you have situations, you have to trust him. You have to trust him with everything. That's
Amen.
Real belief, trusting him. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week.